Good morning. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be here, good to see you here. Where two or more gather together in His name, there is He in the midst of them. And that's what a privilege that is. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You in Jesus Christ's holy name. We give You thanks for the sacred and holy ground upon which we're gathered. We give You thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ here. We give You thanks, God, that You answer prayer and that You love us so much. And God, we pray that as we memorialize the events of 9/11, we pray, Lord, that You would bring comfort and peace to those family and friends of those who were lost. And help us, God. Help us to appreciate those things which we have. Come, Holy Spirit, bless this service that it would be pleasing unto You and fruitful for You. Fill us all with love for one another and fill us especially with love for You. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning, church. As you return to your seats, I would like to offer, again, a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors that we may have. And if you are a visitor and you would like information about our church, please see one of our ushers this morning, or if you would prefer, immediately out the double doors in the narthex on the Shepherd's Hook, you will find a packet of information. Also, those in attendance, please sign the red registration sheet that's in the red folder located at the end of your pew. When you are finished, please pass that back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, please use the 3x5 index card that you'll find in those red folders. Complete the card and put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward. I would like to highlight a few announcements, and we also have a special announcement from Becky Platt. Two quick ones. The United Methodist Women will meet tomorrow, Monday, here at the church at 10 a.m. All women in the church are invited to attend. Now, that is not in the bulletin. However, they are meeting tomorrow here in the church at 10 a.m. And also, the men's work team will resume their activities at the church beginning this Tuesday, September 13th. The men usually arrive around 9 o'clock. They have their morning coffee. They do some odd jobs around the church building, and then they have lunch. So please come and help if you can. Becky?
Thanks, Tracy. Good morning. I have an update on a plea for help that I had put out to the church a few weeks ago. We have a leader for our women's book study. Our wonderful pastor's wife, Bonnie, has agreed to take over the responsibilities. So starting in October, our Women's Book Club will be meeting up again. There'll be more information in the bulletin and in the newsletter to come. So I just wanted to let everyone know. The study is called Becoming Myself by Stacey Eldridge, correct? Is that right, Roddy? And you can find the books on Amazon, I believe ChristianBook.com. It's relatively available. If you need someone to order the book for you, please let me know. I can do that through Amazon, but I will need the money prior to ordering it. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky, and thank you, Bonnie, for heeding that call. Just another couple quick announcements. The Finance Committee, Laurie's the chair, wants me to remind you all that Rata Cutlery sales will begin, and there is a catalog in the narthex. If you are interested in the Rata Cutlery, please have those orders back by the end of October. And if you have any questions, please contact Laurie. And also, speaking of Laurie, last Sunday as worship host, she had made an announcement that several committees within the church are in need of folks to come together as a church family and participate in the life of our church. So if you have any particular questions with regard to finance or nurture or outreach or really any of the committees that we presently have, Laurie has put some papers on a table out in the narthex you can take and peruse at your leisure. And if you have any particular questions, please contact the pastor, Laurie, me. Really, they're pretty self-explanatory. And one final announcement, the Wednesday yoga classes have been canceled until further notice. So if you were participating in that, please know that those are canceled. And I would ask that you check your bulletin for further announcements. Diane is looking at me, and I have it right here in my hand, and I bypassed it. The little yellow insert in today's bulletin, you will see that on Sunday, October 9th, we're going to have Musician Dedication Sunday. It's a fun Sunday because you get to pick your favorite hymns. So take a look through the hymnal. You may even have some of the pages already memorized. If you don't know a page, just write the title down. Whatever is most easiest for you, put it in the offering plate, turn it into the office, or see Diane after church. So that's the little yellow insert. Hopefully it has not fallen out of your bulletin. And now I ask you to turn your hearts and minds to worship. I would now ask that you rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. The words from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
Leads me beside still waters, restores my life. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff,
prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward except that of knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now please remain standing for our first hymn, number 98 in your red hymnal, To God Be the Glory. Please be seated. The word of God this morning is taken from the New Testament. This is Paul's first letter to Timothy. So these are Paul's words to Timothy. You may follow along at chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Hear Paul's words. I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is surely and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the foremost of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Give me fist bump, fist bump. Oh, try it again. There we go. Ooh, who loves us? Oh, God loves us bunches and bunches. No matter where we go and what we do, Jesus loves you. There we go. Fist bump. Yes, Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Jesus has left us marching orders, things that Jesus wants us to do, and we've done something like this before, but we're going to give it another whirl today. Would you stand down here, please, and face me? We're going to play Jesus Says. Yeah, played that before. Okay, back up a little bit. Back up. Okay, spread apart. Need a fist bump. Okay. Spread out a little bit. Give yourself some room. Well, they just keep coming and coming. This is good. Okay. You good? All right. Let's play Jesus Says. Ready? Jesus Says, clap your hands. Okay, quit clapping your hands. Oh, yeah, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, quit clapping your hands. Okay, Jesus said, wave your hand. Jesus said, wave the other hand. Jesus said, quit waving both hands. Jesus said, put your hands down. Okay. Nod your head up and down. Jesus said, turn in a circle. Okay, stop. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Okay, Jesus said, stop. You're making me dizzy. Okay. Now, Jesus said, tell people about me. So go and tell somebody Jesus loves you. Go tell them that. He's going out and tell the world. All right. Okay, hold hands. That's good. That's good. See, nope, Jesus didn't say hold hands. Wait a minute, Jesus, oh, we're too interested here. Sorry. Okay, don't hold hands. Jesus didn't say hold hands. Okay, got it? Okay. Now Jesus says hold hands. All right. What you just did, going and telling somebody that Jesus loves them, is more important than anything else you'll do in your life. Seriously. It's more important than getting married, getting a job, getting education, all those things we have to do in life, but nothing is more important than telling people that Jesus loves them. Saving souls, leading people to Jesus. Nothing more important than that, okay? So, let's bring it in here. Give me a hand there, and hand over here, other hand, wait, this hand. Hold hands. Okay. Yeah, kind of. There we go. He's off again. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us the words to speak to our friends and our families, to tell them that Jesus loves them, to tell them that they need Jesus, because we know that's what you want us to do. So we pray this and ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Wait a minute. Okay, all of God's children said, Amen. Okay. Ladies first. Yes, Connellsville area district for flooding. For the all the cuts off flooding, yes.
We're going to be starting again the tradition we had of a hymn of the month, and this month is the anthem today. I ask you to take out your black books. Yes. Time out.
Hey, there we go. A moment of privilege here. Generva. Is this Generva?
Yeah.
Generva, we're going to have prayer for you, okay? That be all right? Okay. We're going to have prayer for Generva. She's been having some double vision, which has lasted for hours. And she's been in the hospital and had tests run. Mom would like prayer for her. That's a step of faith. It's an act of faith to come down here and to believe more in the power of God than in anything else. So I need prayer warriors to get up out of your seats, to come down here and gather around this child and lay hands on her. I need everybody else in your hearts to pray and to believe that the power of Almighty God is greater than any problem that she has. So we're going to pray for Generva. Get my anointing oil out here, Generva. Right there at your feet. Generva, I have some oil on my finger. And according to the word of God in the book of James, the Lord tells us to call upon, anybody is sick in the church, to call upon the elders, and they will anoint them with oil and lay hands upon them and pray for them, and the prayer will make them better. So we're being faithful to the word of God, and we believe it. And I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up Generva into the light and love of your presence right now. And we're praying, God, that you would wrap your arms around her and touch her. Touch this child, Lord, and heal her. For the chastisement of her peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes she is healed. Greater is he that is in her than he that is in this world. And God, we claim health and wholeness for her. We ask, God, that you would form a hedge of protection around about her and the family. Bless and anoint the doctors, nurses, technicians, and all the treatments used. Restore her health unto her right now. Fill the family with a peace that passes all understanding. Meet all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, it is written, they have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in Generva than he that is in this world. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, and with you, God, all things are possible. And so, Lord, we will give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Wrap your arms around Generva right now. Whisper in her ear that you love her, that she's your child. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I would ask you to turn in the Faith We Sing book to 2153 and follow along with us as we sing this morning. And after we sing the four verses, I'm going to ask you to join us in the first verse just to kind of get it in your heads a little bit. 2153.
Changed the face of our land, our culture forever. Took away our sense of security. Filled us with visions that will live forever. Horror and tragedy, but also of heroes and heroines as our first responders went into a horrific situation and saved life after life after life. Our first responders have always been there for us. I think that too often we take our first responders for granted. They come out at all hours, day and night, come into all kinds of conditions of weather, and they're always there, protecting us, watching over us, serving us. And for that, we owe them a huge debt of gratitude. Do we have any first responders with us today? If you're a first responder, would you please stand? Even retired first responder. Okay. Seeing just one. Okay. We have for you. It's a hanky, more or less. Protection and shield, Psalm 91, made with love. The angel on here with the shield. And Psalm 91 is on there. And I'm going to pray and ask God to anoint this and then give this to you. So you just stay there. I'll come to you. You're always coming to us. Now I'll come to you. I drove ambulance for a couple of years, and my father was police chief of Port View for most of my life. So I know all about first responders, have lots of respect and love for first responders. And where do you serve at?
Jeanette, and I worked in Irwin for a while.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm an EMT, and I work full-time as a nurse.
Okay, an EMT, and works full-time as a nurse as well. And your first name is?
Megan.
Megan. Okay, Megan. Oh, and here's Phil, retired first responder, though he is this church's first responder, and we all know that well. We are going to... That's your daughter. Okay, Megan. I walked back here with one, Phil. I'll have to get you one, okay? All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would anoint these handkerchiefs, that they would carry with them the anointing of your presence, and that whoever carries those hankies, Lord, would feel your presence. We ask that you would form a hedge of protection around about them. We thank you for Megan's service, for Phil's service. And we pray, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them and hold them close and bless them. Bless them, Lord, for all that they do and all that they have done. Bless their families as well. For it's their families, Lord, who have to wait for them to go into dangerous situations and then come home. Wait and pray. And so we ask, Lord, that you would bless their families. Bless Megan and Phil. Bless the work that they've done. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go, Megan. Thank you. Okay. Want to run him down for me, Nellie? And yeah. Thank you.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
We pray, O Lord God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Use them as you see fit for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, and please be seated. Joyce Burnetta has a birthday today, 92, and who was Ruth, her birthday today as well. And Peggy's birthday today too. Wow. 29. 17. Oh, 78. I need to see your driver's license. Other joys. We got to see our grandson, our 11-year-old grandson, play 12-year-old grandson, sorry, play baseball yesterday at the ball fields over there behind Pizza Hut off of 30, and that was a real joy, a doubleheader. Your son Kent started seminary last week. All right, that's great. And you had a wonderful trip up to New York. Okay. Other joys. This is kind of an inside-out joy. It leads to a concern, but June had she fell and broke her hip down there in Ocean City, Maryland, and had to have surgery. But she came through the surgery fine, and she's now back home in Greater Pittsburgh Rehab. The concern is that she has developed a slight fever, so we need to keep June in our prayers for a total recovery. Joyce, give me some more joys here. Church family, thank you. Pancakes, yes. Boy, that smelled good. Sunday school starting, yes. Other joys. For your family, yeah. For prayer. Choir. Junior choir. Cooler weather. Cooler weather, yes, amen, that's right.
Pets.
For our country. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. Excited. First responders, absolutely. For men and women of military. Absolutely. So for all of these joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, for our concerns, break out your pens and your pencils. It's everybody's homework. We want to remember June in our prayers. Joyce, Nancy, Geneva,
Kathy,
my
friend Bill.
Bill, remember Bill. Who else?
My friend Yvonne.
Yvonne? Okay, Yvonne. Any other concerns for yourself or someone else?
Our politicians.
Our politicians. Yeah, let's just make that our country and our country's leaders, men and women in the military. Our church. Our community. Connellsville, as they put pieces back together after the flood. Those with addictions, addicts. Families who lost.
Families of those that were lost 15 years ago.
Okay, 9/11. 9/11 families. If you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. God sees the hand and he knows the details. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. We give you thanks. We are so blessed, so wonderfully happy, overjoyed, God, at the blessings that we have. Forgive us when we take any of them for granted. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of our concerns here today. And we take a stand against these problems in the name of Jesus Christ. We claim health and wholeness for deliverance, for peace, for abundance. We claim victory over these problems in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you, Lord, Kathy and Geneva and Nancy and June and Joyce and Bill, Yvonne and our leaders, our country and our country's leaders, men and women in the military and their families, our church and the ministry here, our communities, our co-workers, our neighbors. We lift up to you, Lord, addicts, the Connellsville area, family and friends of those who lost loved ones in 9/11. We lift up to you our first responders. Lift up to you, Lord, our marriages. We lift up to you, Lord, the unspoken request as well. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. It is written. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. It is written. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your word. And we claim that healing. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. For we are your children called by your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of this we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Well, let me ask you some questions here. How do you save somebody who is drowning? Give them CPR if they have heart just stopped, they're not breathing. What else can you do if somebody's drowning? What do? You see somebody drowning? Pardon? Call a lifeguard, yeah? Throw them a life preserver. Sure. How do you save somebody who is starving to death? Give them food. Feed them, yeah. How do you save someone who is sick or injured? Take them to the hospital. Yes, absolutely. How do you save someone who is freezing to death? Coat, blanket, get them into some heat, some shelter. Yes. How do you save someone who is choking? Heimlich maneuver or, you know, the emergency tracheotomy. How do you save someone who is lost, a sinner? Tell them about Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You know, when I went into seminary, I've had all kind of warnings from everybody. Whole seminary is going to tear your faith down and make you think some crazy things, and you're just not going to be the same. Well, I had a pretty high Christology when I was going to seminary. In other words, I believed that Jesus was everything. Now, when I went into seminary, I started to think about the unconscious Christian, people who didn't realize that they were being Christians, but they were being Christians. And then I read that verse. I don't know what point it was in my seminary experience, but I read that verse, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. In no one else. I don't care how good you are or not. Don't care where you're coming from, what part of the world you live in. Don't care what you dress like or look like. Jesus is the only way. The Word of God makes that clear. The salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13 says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now the tax collectors and sinners, well, they were the scum of the earth. Tax collectors, everybody hated tax collectors. They collected more than their fair share of money off their people, the Jews. And they were used by the Romans, so the Romans hated them. Nobody liked the tax collectors. They were on the bottom rung of society, right down there with shepherds. And then there were the sinners. Now, I thought about that. And you know, sinners, as compared to what? And when you look at the parable, it dawned on me, The sinners refer to people who are unchurched. Because if you were in church at that time, in the temple, you went to the Day of Atonement. And you made sacrifices to pay for your sins. So you were not considered a sinner in the eyes of the church. So sinners were people who did not go to the temple. So the sheep, the 100 sheep, one gets lost. The other 99, they don't need to be saved. They're the righteous. They're us. They're Christians. No need to repent because they already have Jesus in their lives. That one wanders off into a world where there is pitfalls and wild animals, floods, mud, you know, you name it. Fires, this sheep is in trouble. They're lost. And that shepherd goes after that sheep, does whatever it takes to bring that sheep back home. That woman lost one silver coin out of the 10 that she had. Now, that's all she had was 10 silver coins. You know, she's on a tight budget, and that one silver coin means a lot to her. And so she does whatever it takes to find it. Says that she lit a light and she swept the whole house and she searched very carefully until she found that other silver coin. Now in both cases, with the sheep, with the coin, it says this phrase, in the same way. And if you look that up, it says that the shepherd rejoiced with his friends about finding the sheep, the woman rejoiced with her friends about finding the coin. In the same way, the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents and is saved. Boy, what's exciting about that is that you and I have the power to make the angels in heaven partay. We can do that when we go out and tell somebody about Jesus. When we do whatever it takes to convince them they need Jesus. The Pharisees, well, Pharisees, they were there too, but they weren't there to hear what Jesus had to say. They were there as spectators to see what Jesus was going to do. And they muttered. They muttered to one another. Look at him. Look at Jesus. Hanging out. He welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Mutter, mutter, mutter. Now, Bonnie mutters to me and then she blames my hearing. She says I mutter to her and I blame her hearing. This is getting old grand, dear. Isn't it wonderful? But these Pharisees and teachers of the law were muttering because they thought Jesus was wrong. And that's why Jesus told them the parable. It is so important for us to go out and seek that which is lost. To do whatever it takes to find those who are lost. Let me ask you, let me tell you this. Say you're out one night taking a walk with your dog or your cat or your ferret or hamster or whatever. It's after dark. You're strolling down the road and you come past your neighbor's house. All the lights are on. The music's blaring. Driveway's full of cars. There's cars parked in the yard. Big picture window with the drapes all pulled back and you can see them in there dancing and having a good time and they're just having a wonderful party. What's the first thing you say to your dog? Why didn't they invite me? But then you're about to leave, and as you're walking past the house, you glance up at the top of the house, and you see the dormer on the roof where the attic's at. There's a light dancing in the window. And you stop, and as you look, all of a sudden the glass breaks out. Smoke comes pouring out of the upper room, along with flames. Well, the attic's on fire. And you look back at the living room. You can see in through that big picture window. And you see people out on the porch. They're out there just dancing, having a good time. What do you do? You tell them. You warn them. You go back over there. And you go up, knock on the door, and you tell them you saw flames coming out of the attic. Now, if they're too drunk, having too much of a good time, they don't believe you, they refuse to leave, what do you do then? Call 911? What else do you do? Well, you pray for them. What else do you do? The flames are spreading. Get them out. You get them out. You do whatever it takes. Grab them by the hair in their head. Drag them out of the house. Push them out of the house. Chase them out with something. You do whatever it takes to save their lives. Shortly after we moved into Rogersville in 1993, when we first began the ministry, I was 37 years old. I was going to Waynesburg College. I don't know what year it was. Say 96, just guessing. I'm sitting in my office at home, 11:30 Saturday night, working on my sermon. Going over it, you know, and looking at different things. And Bonnie was sitting out in the living room watching TV. Our kids were in bed. And I heard a commotion outside. And I thought there must be some kids outside or something. And then I heard breaking glass. And I thought, now what is that? And I was about to get up when Bonnie come running in the office, barefoot as she usually is. She says, Scotty's house is on fire right across the alley, right across the road from us, from here to those windows. It's on fire. She goes, the attic, flames are shooting everywhere. She said, call 911. And as I called 911, she ran across the street and pounded on his door. They were all in bed. Scotty and his wife and three little girls. And Scotty came to the door and he was like, what? What are you talking about? And she's trying to convince him that the house is on fire. Did you have to bring him outside, show him the flames? Or brought him outside, showed him the flames, and then they went in the house and they got his wife and girls out. The flames were just coming through the closet in the one little girl's room. The fire company was just around the corner. Rogersville's a little community. They come over and they put the fire out. It burned through the roof, but they got the fire out in the attic. And, of course, all the water damage. And we formed a brigade from the house over to the church, which was right next door to us, and all the local people, and we got a lot of furniture out. But literally, she saved their lives. Quick action, quick thinking, and determination. What good is it to save somebody's physical life if we don't save their soul? What good is it if a person gains the whole world but loses their soul? It's no good. It's not. Revelation, chapter 20, verses 13, 14, and 15. Listen to this word of God. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead, and each one was judged according to his deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was found whose name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into that lake of fire also. So the dead will rise and be judged according to their deeds. Not, they'll not be saved by their works. Because if in those deeds there's no mention of Jesus, they're going into the lake of fire. The only way you get your name written in the book of life is by believing in Jesus in this life. Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this sounds like 2 weeks ago when I was preaching on hell, fire, and damnation. The only difference is I'm not trying to scare you, give you information to use about hell. What I want to do today is to convince us that you and I need to get busy. And we need to do, like the shepherd and the woman, we need to do whatever it takes to find those who are lost. Not to wait for them to come to us. Not to leave it up to somebody else. Because my brothers and sisters, you and I both know we are surrounded by people who are lost. Not just unchurched, but lost, who don't really know Jesus. Their house is on fire, and they don't know it. Everybody dies that second death. That everybody dies once. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto us once to die. The second death is for those who don't believe in Jesus. Eternal life is for those who do. What are we willing to do to snatch people from the fire? It says in Jude, by the way, is that book in the Bible that comes right before the book of Revelation. Jude doesn't have any chapters. It's just one big chapter itself. Jude verses 17 to 23 says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." Now listen to this. "Be merciful to them who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, which is respect, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Snatch people from the fire. Do whatever it takes to convince people that they need Jesus and that Jesus is the only way, that there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. They've got to do it. Time is growing short, shorter for some of us than others. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." You are an ambassador of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. This is a family of ambassadors of Christ. Peggy, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. All of you. You are all ambassadors of Christ. When you leave this place and go out, no matter where you go and what you do, you carry the authority of the Word of God with you. And you have an obligation to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. You have an obligation because you are an ambassador of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. That's what the Word of God says. It says that we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, those of you that don't know Jesus, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, there's nothing more important that you'll do in life, like we were telling the kids, than to save a soul. And when you go out and you witness to somebody and you tell them the best way you can, whether you think it's good or not, you just do the best you can. And you tell people, your house is on fire, man. What do you mean by that? My house is on fire. Well, there's a lake of fire and brimstone that you're going to go into if you don't have Jesus in your life. I don't know that I believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It's the Word of God. Without Jesus, you're going to die. Well, you're going to die too. Yeah, this body will give up the ghost one day. But I'll live forever in heaven because I've Jesus. See, always remember, my favorite phrase again, one of them. We are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And the reality is going to smack us in the face one day. Because he's coming back. So in the meantime, spread the word to your neighbors, your family, your co-workers. Tell them about Jesus. So what if they think you're a fanatic? So what if they're scoffers like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Tell people the good news that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. Tell them that. Because their house is on fire. God loves you, and so do I. Let's turn in our hymnals and stand and sing our closing hymn.
Thank you. your word. Now go and get in heaven, whatever it takes. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your spirit upon us. Fill us with holy boldness. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.